On this night, all across the world, people are gathered together to celebrate, to remember, to commemorate the most monumental moment in human history when God became man. It was kind of an inconspicuous moment that's described in the Gospels for such an important figure. He was greeted that night a little more than 2,000 years ago by only a few stable animals, the cool night air, and a mother, a father of limited stature. There in a manger in Bethlehem, a king was born. He was to be a king like unlike any other ruler over over the face of the earth. His kingdom was from everlasting to everlasting. It was long before he ever dawned the earth, and it was going to last long after. It was from everlasting to everlasting. His campaign promises weren't like the ones we've heard. They were eternal, though they were seemingly at times insignificant to many of the crowd as they rejected him. He would inspire songs through the centuries, poems, art, stories, and hope in the darkest of moments. But he came, John says, to give us something so much more than all of that. Such a monumental moment in history, in human history, it seems like really the way it's told was the improper introduction. It seems like there should have been a lot more on that first Christmas than just a baby being born in a manger. John gives us a glimpse, however, into the reason for such a simple introduction into the world. Only he doesn't begin with the baby in the manger like the other Gospels begin with. He begins with the beginning of time itself. And he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, not anything that was made was made. In him, John writes, was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Verse 14 makes it clear that that word that he's referring to that existed before the world and the foundations of them, that word that existed with God and was face to face with God and the word that was God was Jesus Christ, the baby, born in a manger. As he concludes in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he says, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. One little word resonates this year with my family, maybe more than any other Christmas before. Hidden among all the lines about the Christmas story, hidden among all the statements and the paragraphs and the pronouncements, lines about how he was going to be called Emmanuel because he was God with us, there was one little phrase that stuck out in John's gospel as John said, in him, in this baby, was life, and the life was the light of man. Why did the light, the Son of Man, the Son of God, come in the form of a baby? Have you ever wondered that question? Because in him, John says, was the life, and that life was come to give to mankind. In fact, it's a theme all throughout John's gospel. In John chapter 5, we have this great discourse on the very subject of life itself. Jesus spoke to those who would listen, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to those whom he will. Because as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son also to have life in himself. In John chapter 6, Jesus told the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And then in four chapters later, in John 10, Jesus told his followers, I came that they may have life, and that they may have life abundantly. Then we come to John chapter 11, and Jesus said to a burdened sister, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. What is that life that John wants to claim all throughout his gospel, from the very beginning until its end? From the beginning of when he told how the Word came and dwelt among mankind, and that he was life, and that life was the light of mankind, to all the promises of Jesus to give life, life everlasting, life eternal, to life of abundance. What was that life? Well, undoubtedly, you already know that it was an eternal life he was promising. He promised that those who would believe in him would experience an everlasting life, one that goes well beyond the grave. And I'm thankful for that this evening, and I think you should be as well. That one day, even though we die here on this earth, that those who believe in him will have a life that will exist all throughout eternity. Not a life for eternity that is like this life we experience now, but a life that doesn't have sadness and sorrow, a life that is absent death and disease, a life in which there is eternal joy in the presence of the eternal glory of God himself. But he also offered something else in that life. He also offered a life that was quite different from what we experience and we see experienced in our culture in the human condition regularly. He did not offer a life to his followers, a life to the crowd. He did not offer a life to his disciples that was absent of trial and trouble. But rather, he offered to them a life that was a soul-satisfying life, a life of abundance, a life where the soul's thirst and hunger were cleansed and peace and contentment were found. Today, we live in a world that I'm well aware of and you are as well, especially given all the circumstances of the past year here in Sedalia. We live in a world that's full of depression, of dissatisfaction, and globally we live in a life in a world full of war. People are driven to despair all too often. But in this baby, John was setting the stage to tell us that God was offering to us a different life, life of peace. In simple terms, Jesus came to give us tonight, and to all those who would believe in him, life. The very purpose of his coming was to give life. Let me go back to my first question. Why did Jesus come in the form of a baby? Why did the Son of God dawn the earth in such an inconspicuous way? Why was it that God had it in his marvelous purpose and plan that he should arrive in the form of a baby? Well, there was the obvious answer of the fulfilling of prophecy, but why the prophecy? Why would God have ever set this plan into motion? Why would he have prophesied it? Of all the ways for God to come to earth, a baby seems like a helpless, insignificant, maybe even you might say such an ungodlike way to arrive. And yet, this is how God chose to make himself known. Maybe it wasn't ungodlike at all. Maybe it was exactly the way that God intended. Perhaps nothing in the human experience represents life quite like a baby does, right? When a couple learns of their coming little life, there's joy. There's dreams, there's hopes, there's expectations for what the future might hold. The experience of hearing your child cry for the first time is indescribable, isn't it? Especially, I think, for fathers. Maybe, just maybe, God knew exactly what he was doing in this moment when he sent the life that would be the light of mankind in the form of a baby. Maybe he gave life to man by giving them life in its purest and most recognizable state in the form of a baby. As many of you know, this past week and a half has been a difficult experience for Kelly and myself and our family. And yet, I would echo the words of the Apostle Paul, we are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Always, he says, carrying out in the body of the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies as well. We have especially found comfort over the last 10 days, I think, in the hope of Christmas this year. Seeing God in a manger reminds us of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. Tonight we celebrate that life, life not received through possessions or riches, life that was accomplished through death. Tonight we experience and celebrate life because this baby born in a manger died on a cross and was resurrected, and through faith in him, by believing that what he did was good enough to cover our sins, we receive new life. We symbolize this in many churches and in many ways, but one of the ways we symbolize it oftentimes is through the lighting of candles, right? And through that moment, where we won't do it tonight, through that moment, what happens is we have one light at the front to remind us that we all must draw our source from that one single light, and that the world is full of sin and darkness and evil, much like a room can be. And then we light our candles to it through that service, through that symbolizing, to remind ourselves that as we draw our source, as we draw our life from him, we can spread that life, that light, throughout the world and throughout the darkness. The greatest message that can ever be preached, the greatest message that can ever be told on this night and on any night is that you and I have been promised life in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things, he says, were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. I would challenge you this Christmas season to remember that we have new life because we have trusted and believed, because God donned human form in the form of a baby, lived a perfect life, died our death, and then was raised to live, to show us that he had conquered death, hell, and the grave on our behalf. Tonight we're going to close the service by singing a simple song as a reminder that the darkness has not overcome the world, but that you and I have new life tonight. Stand with me.